Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Listen, so we're into the Christmas season. And from my experience, during Christmas, it's a wonderful time for conversation about Christmas as a festive season. There's lots of opportunity to talk about Jesus. And sometimes this conversation might start quite easily. A colleague or a friend might skirt around the topic in the workplace lunchroom and ask, "Why is Christmas celebrated at all? Or where did the tradition come from? Why do we stop once a year to celebrate Christmas?" Still others want to press Christians just a little bit harder, don't they? They want to ask about our particular beliefs, beliefs like the virgin birth. Particularly, they want to know from Christians, "Look, you guys believe that this Jesus was born in some obscure corner of the world to a sexually inactive young woman. That's a troubling question to some of our friends, neighbors, and colleagues, isn't it? How can you believe something like that?" For some of us, this is just part and parcel of theology. We know why we believe it and we firmly hold to it. But for others, it does seem like an obscure belief. Not least of which is because it sounds so unscientific. We know that virgins don't have babies. No wonder many find it so difficult to believe, let alone accept. So that's the question I want to look at this morning. I want to explore the credibility of believing in the virgin birth, especially taking into account those who come from a skeptical point of view and those who resonate with a question raised by an older philosopher, David Hume, who doubted the credibility of the virgin birth. David Hume was said to have said the following: "Which is more likely?" He's a skeptic. He's saying, "Which is more likely, that all natural order is suspended, or that a young Jewish girl should tell a lie?" Hume is suggesting, like some of our skeptical friends might be, that perhaps the virgin birth story is just an innovative cover for an unmarried young girl facing an unplanned pregnancy. I, for one, welcome this kind of conversation at Christmas time. I welcome these kinds of questions. I do believe Christians ought to think seriously about these kinds of objections and questions that their friends and neighbors have about their faith, and then kindly, patiently, and gently offer a thoughtful answer in response. So one place to start to think about the credibility of the virgin birth of Jesus is to consider who we find the story from. Where do we know the story from? We know it from a man named Luke. Luke wrote what we know about the virgin birth as we read it this morning. And it might interest you to know that Luke was a historian. Luke was a researcher, and he was commissioned to compile a record of Jesus' life. And he tells us this at the beginning of his book. He says, "It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus." This is his employer, the guy who's commissioned him to do this work. "To write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught, namely things about Christ." So he's an historian. Luke's writing comes from the standpoint of research and interviews. He's weighing up claims as a historian, committing to writing that which he concluded to be real events of history. That's one thing to keep in mind when you're considering the credibility of believing in the virgin birth. The author, Luke, approached this event as a fair-minded historian, sifting fact from fiction so that we can have a high degree of confidence that what he recorded did in fact take place. That's one starting point towards an answer about whether it's credible to believe in the virgin birth. But we also want to consider that Jesus was a unique individual in human history, wasn't he? He was unique. And we know that Jesus was very unique because of the kinds of things that Mary was told about him. An angel says to her, if you have your Bible open, just slide on over to verse 31, which reads like this, that the angel said to Mary, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's a unique kind of person, isn't it? Whose kingdom has no end. There's no end to his rule and reign. He is unique. To some of us, this just sounds like the kind of lofty talk we expect from religious texts, right? The kind of embellishments we kind of expect from religious people. But I don't want you to dismiss it as unimportant. Don't think that just because it uses grand language that it's unimportant. It was an announcement to Mary emphasizing that her child would be so unique an individual that he will assume and fulfill prophetic roles and functions hoped for by the Jewish people for centuries. That's how unique he would be. And my intention this morning is not to comb through the literally hundreds of prophecies concerning Jesus, but only to make this point. The message to Mary was that her child would be so unique that he would fulfill a role that no one else possibly could. No one else can do these things that Jesus is said to be doing. He would be unique in his relationship to God, right? He will be called the Son of the Most High. And he would also be a unique King, greater than any other. So I'm just asking you this morning, if we're considering the credibility of the virgin birth. If Jesus is this unique person, could it not also be plausibly appropriate that his birth is also unique? If he really is such unique an individual on the face of human history, is it not plausibly appropriate that his birth would be also unique? I think that's a point worth thinking about. It provides at least some of the answer as to why Christians find the virgin birth a compelling belief. But suppose we find stronger objection at the Christmas dinner table, or wherever you find it, at the workplace Christmas party. You find someone with stronger objection. They might say something like this: belief in the virgin birth means that Christianity is anti-science. After all, we know it's impossible for humans to naturally reproduce without the basics of sperm and egg coming together. So to believe in a virgin birth is to turn our backs on established science. And I don't want a belief system that's so crudely anti-science. If these are your thoughts, I hear your objection. And I share your concerns. And so does Jesus' mother, evidently. Jesus' mother has the same concerns that you do about it being an anti-science thing going on here. That may surprise you, but let's think about it. Mary knew where babies came from. She's not an ignorant person. She knows the hard facts of science. Boy meets girl, right? She understands the process. So she rightly asks the question, how will this be? How will I be pregnant since I am a virgin? I get it. I get the science. How's it going to happen? So Mary isn't or wasn't blindly anti-science. She looked for scientific explanation of her pregnancy also. So how does that help us answer the objection that believing in the virgin birth makes Christianity anti-science? Well, if that is your question of the virgin birth, could I just humbly ask you to consider one thing from a Christian point of view? Could I humbly ask you to consider if Christianity readily accepts the scientific explanation of all human births apart from Jesus' birth, does that really make Christianity anti-science? Or could it be plausible that science has limits? That is, since we value science's ability to explain 99.999999% of human births, it doesn't follow that Christianity is anti-science when science falls short of explaining one unique birth in history. We still value science's function dearly, but we acknowledge that science too has its limits. I'll just ask you to consider that if you think of Christianity as an anti-science religion. Even so, there's another quiver for those who challenge the credibility of believing in the virgin birth. It comes in the form of the objection that we started with. The suggestion of David Hume that the young Jewish girl told a lie. That Mary was promiscuous, found herself with an unplanned pregnancy. And so she concocted a lie as a clever cover for her pregnancy. So I want to ask the question with you, did the young Jewish girl tell a lie? Is it plausible? If it is true, it is perhaps one of the best guarded lies a teenager has ever told. I just don't know many teenagers that could hold up that kind of lie for that long. But given what we know of Mary, how reasonable is it to believe that she lied? How seriously should we take an objection like David Hume's? What we know about Mary comes from verse 27. I invite you to have a look at it. Verse 27 simply says that Mary was a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. That may not seem like a lot to you, but there's lots there to know about her. It's too simplistic, for one, to think of betrothed as simply a term of engagement, like we would think of an engagement before you get married, right? To be betrothed in an ancient context was more than being engaged, as we would understand it, because you could only end a betrothal through a formal divorce process. If you were betrothed, the only way to end that is divorce court. You didn't simply just call it off. You didn't just change your status on Facebook to single. It was a serious commitment, far more serious a commitment than we think of as an engagement. Now, why does that matter, you ask? How does it help answer the objection that Mary was simply a Jewish girl who told a lie? Well, consider this. If Mary did lie about her pregnancy, using God as a scapegoat for her promiscuity, the societal backlash would have been staggering, if not life-threatening. Let me explain. To be caught as a betrothed woman, pregnant, without your future husband's involvement, was scandal in the highest order. That is Jeremy Kyle territory. You're on TV. But it's more than scandal. It was the kind of scandal which could possibly cost you your life. Because in an ancient context like Mary's, if you're betrothed and found to be engaged in consensual sex, especially consensual sex with someone other than your betrothed, you could have faced the death penalty. Deuteronomy 22. The risk is too high to lie about this kind of thing. So my question is, why would Mary lie about her pregnancy? Why would she make something like this up when exposure as a liar could have well led to her execution? It seems to me Mary's testimony of being a pregnant virgin makes far more sense if it was actually true. It's the only reason she would take the risk. It's the only reason she would take a risk of making such a grand claim. Let me close this up for us. We're into Christmas season. Friends, neighbors, family, whoever you're running into and rubbing shoulders with this Christmas season may not be all that sympathetic to your Christian faith, especially the virgin birth. It may come up over the dinner table or in your places of work, but instead of shying away from the difficult conversations, there is wonderful opportunity to show that the virgin birth is a reasonable belief. There is credibility, there's plausibility to why we believe it. In summary, if you are faced with that question this Christmas season, if someone's trying to rib you with this question this Christmas season, I just want you to keep 3 points in mind that you may like to think about as you engage that conversation. We believe in the virgin birth, and we believe that it really happened because Luke was a historian. The man who wrote this was a researcher, and he recorded what he concluded from his extensive research to be real events of history, including the virgin birth. Secondly, I want you to keep in mind that Jesus was unique. And the uniqueness of Jesus makes it plausibly appropriate that he was also uniquely born. Thirdly, keep in mind that Mary had little incentive to lie. The societal constraints on Mary, including the death penalty, makes it highly improbable that she successfully maintained a lie in order to fool the masses. It doesn't add up that she lied. These things are worth thinking about, and it may help you see why Christians still believe that Jesus was born from a young Jewish virgin according to the scriptures. Moreover, it's through his birth that good news dawns on humanity, that sin can be forgiven and will be for all those who belong to Jesus. In fact, that is what the name Jesus means, that the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation, so I invite you to trust him as your salvation. Place your faith in him and find your belonging in his kingdom without end. Amen.